Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutare Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatta Deshatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyascha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare So yesterday I was talking about different conceptions of God and how these different conceptions of God determine, or in other words, if we call it in familiar terms as Sambandha Gyan, how our Sambandha Gyan determines our understanding of Prayojan. How our understanding of who God is and who we are in relationship with God ultimately also determines our final goal and final destination. And overall relationship towards religion and towards religious practices. There is a very important notion here that theory is not all. We may have a very correct sambandha. We may have a very correct understanding of who God is. And still, we may have wrong understanding of prayojan. And in our practice, our practices will be faulty because we have to clearly understand that there is a theoretical knowledge and realized knowledge, jnana and vijnana, the familiar term from the seventh chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. And there is a very interesting concept that is, that can be philosophical atheism. And philosophical atheism, we all understand, and we don't subscribe to it. Philosophically, we're not atheists. But at the same time, even though philosophically we may not be atheists, we may still be atheists psychologically. There is a philosophical atheism which is doctrine. And we may not share this doctrine. We may not really accept this doctrine, but psychologically we may still be atheists. And psychological atheism is the state of consciousness which considers ourselves most important. Because what is atheism? Atheism means that we are God. We are the Lord of this creation. And we may not theoretically accept it, but still within the heart we have a hard time to accept another view. That we are not God. And after so many years in this movement, we still may have difficulties with accepting that we are not God. Because ultimately, what it means that I am God, it means that I am most important. And God is only as important as he relates to me, right? So this is what is called psychological atheism, and we have to really watch our heart, who we are within our heart. We may not be, from the doctrinal point of view, be atheists, but we still may remain atheists within our heart. And this is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Prabhupada and, of course, Krishna, in the first place, call Hridayurbalyam. Hridayurbalyam. That's what is actually we are dealing with. when we are trying to understand what salvation is and how to achieve salvation. And yesterday I touched a little bit on the subject matter when I described this story when Viman came from the heavenly plane. And Viman, the messenger from the heavens, suggested to Mudgala Rishi, come on, get serious, let's go to the heaven. And he rejected flatly. You know, after thorough consideration, he rejected. But, you know, this is a very serious question. You know, if I'm to be honest, I'm not 100% sure that I would reject this. I would probably think, what's wrong with going to heaven? You know, there's nothing wrong. We can be there for some time. We can enjoy. What's really wrong? It's nice there. Nice, pious people living there. So nice. Why not go and have a little look there? So, but it still means, it's again, it's it betrays this Hridaya Darbalyam. Or we may reject it because we have this theoretical notion that yes, I only want Krishna. Like also, especially if somebody else watches us, what we are doing, right? You know, if there are some witnesses, we may very boldly say to this messenger of heaven, get lost. I will remain here and I will only go to Krishna's abode. But then when we are alone, we would think, such a fool you were. It's a little bit like the story which Sachinand Maharaj told about the sabji. No, I don't need this subject. And then you think, my goodness, what did you do, you fool? So this is all, you know, weaknesses of the heart. And in this 15th chapter, which we started to describe, because this 15th chapter particularly deals with the subject matter of liberation and describing this mechanism of liberation and the role of the Vedas in liberation. Srila Prabhupada ends this 15th chapter by paraphrasing Bhaktivinoda Thakur. With your permission, I will read what Srila Prabhupada writes, and I will also read what Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in his purport to the last verse of this 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. And it's extremely interesting because he touches this particular point, he hammers this point, weakness of the heart. Srila Prabhupada writes at the end of the purport, the first fall down is caused by the desire to lord it over material nature. Thus, one gives up the transcendental loving service of the Supreme Lord. The second weakness of the heart is that one increases the propensity to lord it over material nature. He becomes attached to matter and the possession of matter. The problems of material existence are due to the weaknesses of the heart. In this chapter, in the first five verses, describe the process of freeing oneself from these weaknesses of the heart. And the rest of the chapter, from the sixth verse through the end, discusses Purushottama Yoga. So this is basically the paraphrase of Bhaktivinoda Thakur purport to the same verse, where Bhaktivinoda Thakur says approximately the same thing, but with some slightly more clear emphasis, I would say. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, during the sadhana stage of Bhakti Yoga, three great anarthas, unwanted things, are to be removed by the power of Sadhu Sangha and by surrendering to the limbs of Shuddha Bhajana. The jiva's first weakness of the heart is the desire to enjoy Maya by misusing the freedom which was bestowed upon him in his pure state by Bhagavan himself. Later on, while wandering in the material world, he developed his second weakness of the heart, which is the attachment of sense objects. Among these weaknesses of the heart, Hridaya Daurbalya, attachment to the material world, is the third anartha. All other anarthas are generated from these three weaknesses of the heart. So, first weakness of the heart is the desire to lord it over material nature. Second weakness of the heart is the general attachment for the sense objects. which is coming from this first weakness, desire to lord it over. You become attached to the sense objects. And the third weakness of the heart is the attachment to the world, which is full of sense objects. This is how it is develops, or how it actually, how the process of degradation takes place within our heart, and how we are being bound and being entangled in this world. And Lord Krishna, and yesterday I mentioned this. I mentioned that in this 15th chapter, Lord Krishna, after describing this problem of entanglement, he says that there are three features of the Supreme Lord, of the Absolute Truth, Brahmajyoti, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. And all three features actually work together to help one to get the freedom from this material entanglement. But, as I also said, they may give us freedom, but they also may as well give us entanglement. Because, again, the beginning of this very beautiful chapter of Bhagavad Gita is description of how the hymns of the Vedas creates and beautify this material world. Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that what are the leaves for the tree? Besides that they nourish the tree, another function of the leaves is they make the tree beautiful. So the hymns of the Vedas, in a similar way, they make our existence in this material world very attractive. You know, they explain how you can be really enjoying in this material world. So this is what is going on. And I said that while saying that, for example, Brahmajyoti, and Krishna says, how Brahmajyoti manifests in this world? How Brahmajyoti manifests in this world? Yeah, as the light. As the light of the sun, as the light of the moon, as the light of the fire, as the fire within our stomach. This is all different manifestations of fire and different manifestations of this spiritual energy, after all. So they can increase our desire to enjoy this world. You know, the light of the moon increases our desire to enjoy. The light of the sun increases our desire to enjoy. But at the same time, if we use them properly, the light of the sun can illumine our consciousness. In our Veda, it is said that by the light of the sun, you can develop strong knowledge, which ultimately will help you to get liberation. And again, the fire in the stomach also can help you to develop the desire to liberate, to be liberated, especially if it's weak. That's that's my personal problem. In any case, so, and in the same way, Paramatma was in the heart, O Lord, Ishvara, the manifestation of the Lord within this material world also can give you the fruits of your karma and can really push you or facilitate your enjoyment in this world, perpetuate your staying in this world. But the same Paramatma from within the heart can help you to achieve liberation. And the Vedas, again, which give us the understanding of the person God, and that's the only source where we can get the understanding and the conception of personal God, as is very strongly stated within this 15th chapter. Again, the Vedas can be the cause of entanglement, and the Vedas can and should be the cause of liberation. So what is the deciding factor here? Why, in one sense, in some cases, all these aspects of the Lord help one to get entangled, and in other cases, they will help us to get liberated. What is the deciding factor? What is the trick? What should be there? How we should switch this, you know, there are two modes. and how we should switch? What is the trigger which would switch it from another, from one mode to another mode? Our free will desire, yes. But it's much more precisely stated in the same 15th chapter. Our attitude. Ultimately, it's our attitude. And what should be our attitude which will help us to get free from this material world, with the help of the Vedas, with the help of sun, with the help of moon, and with the help of anything else? What should be the attitude? What should be the mood which helps us to do this? How it is stated in the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, specifically in the fourth verse of the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Who remembers? Yeah, this is the fifth verse, but before that, just before that, Krishna says, Asvatthamanam suvirudha mulam, asanga sastrena dridhena chitva. Asanga sastrena dridhena chitva. This suvirudha mulam, this asvatha, this tree of material world, which has such a deep roots within our heart. Suvirudha mulam, asanga sastrena dridhena chitva. How we can cut it down? Asanga, detachment. The mood of detachment. And this is the preliminary condition of liberation, preliminary state of liberation, the first condition for our fitness to be liberated, if we want to have the eligibility to be liberated. This is the preliminary condition, asanga sastrena dridhena chitva, by this asanga or vairagya. So, and today I will specifically deal with this subject matter describing the topic of the Vedic sound. How important it is to have this attitude of detachment. This is actually, in my consciousness, an extremely important point. And we know that all the Vedas and Krishna says about this in Bhagavad Gita and many other places in the Vedic literature, it is said that the Vedas are specifically created by the Lord. This is the manifestation of His mercy. Being merciful, Maya Mugda Jiva Ranahi Svatah Krishna Gyan, because Jiva is Mugda, because it's bewildered by Maya. Maya Mugda Jiva Ranahi Svatah Krishna Gyan. Therefore, this natural gyan of Krishna, natural knowledge of Krishna, does not appear in our heart. And therefore, Jivere Kripaya Koila, Krishna Veda Puran. Therefore, Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasa, Krishna himself in his literary incarnation, gave this Veda Puran. Being merciful, this is Jivere Kripaya, because he wanted to manifest his mercy. And also Prabhupada, he explains that all the Vedas, in the introduction of Bhagavad Gita, all the Vedas are given, all the Vedic vibrations are given for us to concentrate ourselves, to withdraw ourselves from this attachment to this world and to transfer our consciousness to the spiritual sky. So today I will try to explain how it happens by explaining first the opposite process, the process of entanglement through the sound. In the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Kapiladev says that the sound is the first element which entangles Jiva. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that as much as the sound is the first element which attracts Jiva to this material world, in the same way the sound can liberate Jiva. So first I want to read a very extremely interesting and very deep verse from the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, with the purport by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. It's a very interesting description. It's the 17th verse from the 12th chapter of the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Krishna, after explaining to Uddhava different processes, Krishna explained to Uddhava Varnashrama Dharma, Krishna explained to Uddhava Karma, Kanda, different sacrifices, Krishna explained to Uddhava Yoga, Krishna explained to Uddhava Bhakti Yoga, and ultimately Uddhava became totally bewildered. He looked at Krishna and he said, "My dear friend, I don't understand anything anymore. I'm totally, completely confused. Because you explained to me so many different things and I don't know what to do because I cannot go, you know, all these different directions at once. You know, you please tell me very clearly what should I do." So by, hearing this inquiry of Uddhava, Krishna explains this first verse in this 12th chapter of the 17th verse in the 12th chapter of the 11th canto. Krishna gives reply to his bewilderment. And in my consciousness, this reply is even more bewildering than anything else which Krishna said before. Because it's not that obvious what Krishna is saying here. But with the help of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, we can actually explain and understand something very beautiful and very important for all of us. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear Uddhava, the Supreme Lord gives lives to every living being and is situated within the heart and within the life air as primal sound vibration. The Lord can be perceived in his subtle form within the heart of by one's mind, since the Lord controls the minds of everyone, even the great demigods like Lord Shiva. The Supreme Lord also assumes gross form as the various sounds of the Vedas, composed of short and long vowels and consonants in different intonations." It's clear, right? Now it's ultimately for you clear what you should do. You know, Uddhava, he's pleading with the tears in his eyes, "Please explain to me what I should do." And Krishna pronounces this extremely difficult and esoteric verse. But the explanation of this verse is also very interesting and very esoteric as well. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that here Krishna is describing the process of creation of this material world. And he says that the process of creation of material world is coming from the Lord himself. And he says that first, prana, or life energy, impregnated with nada. And nada is the sound vibration. Nada is another name for transcendental sound. Nada is the sound. So he says that prana, the life energy, impregnated with the sound. With this sound and with this prana, first, Lord himself enters Muladhara chakra of Lord Brahma. He enters the lower chakra of Lord Brahma. So this is the first step. The Lord himself, to facilitate the wayward jivas who are kind of lost to enjoy this material world and to create this world, he first enters as Paravak, as the highest distinction or the highest division of the speech. He enters lowest chakra of Brahma. Then it is said, then he enters, after this, he enters Manipura chakra. And in the Manipura chakra of Lord Brahma, he enters as Pashyantivak. I will very shortly explain what it all means. And then he says he enters the Vishuddha chakra of Lord Brahma as Madhyamamak. And then he comes out from his mouth as Vaikarivak, or as the words of the Vedas, as the gross speech or as the gross sound vibration. So I believe that it has not become more clear what we should do after this explanation. So it requires little more explanation for this. But this is actually, originally, this is all coming. What is being described here is the stages of the sound vibration, which is on the transcendental plane, is not different from the Lord himself. The stages of the sound vibration, stages of transformation of the sound vibration, of the sound becoming more and more gross, until it becomes the sounds of the Vedas. The sounds of the Vedas, which are mentioned here in this verse, all these swaras, all these vowels, all this, you know, udgata and anugata, all these different accents and emphasis which are there in the Vedas. They are the material from which Brahma creates this world. This is the material cause of this creation. He takes the sounds of the Vedas, which are the ultimate transformation of this transcendental sound, which originally comes within the body of Brahma as the Lord himself, as the original speech, as Paravak. So ultimately it becomes the gross speech, and the gross speech is the material from which Lord Brahma creates this world. And this is described in Vedanta Sutra, in the third chapter of the first book of Vedanta Sutra. It is explained there that how Lord Brahma creates this world. Lord Brahma is sitting there in his lotus flower, in his lotus posture, and all of a sudden he notices that, you know, the words of the Vedas are coming from his mouth. The sound of the Vedas is coming from his mouth. And then he takes these words and he meditates on these words, and the form appears. The gross form appears from the gross sound of the Vedas. Like it is said, he's meditating on the word ete, and demigods appears. Then he meditates on the word cow, and the form of cow appears. Or he pronounces this. Actually, he pronounces this sound vibration, because ultimately everything which we have here has this, you know, the vibration as the basis. There is a specific word there in this Baladev's. It's a description from Rig Veda. It's coming from Rig Veda. And he also creates the human being by pronouncing the word. What is the word? It's a strange word. Ashigra or something like this. Ashigra. Yeah, Ashigram. Ashigram. Ashigram means the one who has a lot of blood. You know, so he creates this, he pronounces this word, and then human, here you are, you know. Human being with a lot of blood inside. You know, the devas are different. But this concept of four levels of speech, and I will now explain more carefully. And again, this is extremely important, are originally coming from Rig Veda. In Rig Veda, which is the original Veda, the most ancient Veda, if we take the position of the modern scholars, but in our position, all the Vedas are eternal. So in Rig Veda, it is said that Vak, or goddess Vak, or this original Shakti. And in the Vedas, it is said, Vak Vai Brahma, the speech, the sound vibration is Brahman himself, is God. It's not different from God. It has four divisions, Chatvari Vak, it is said there. And it is said that there is a funny story that the three divisions are hidden, and only one part of the speech is open. And there is a funny story there in the Vedas, in one Brahmana, I believe in Shatapatha Brahmana, it is said that the Indra, he killed Vritrasura. He hurled his Vajra. But because Vritrasura was so powerful demon, you know, the demigods, they were not sure whether he is killed or not. Whether he's pretending to be killed and he's there, but they were really afraid. So Indra and other demigods, they were hiding away in the bushes. And they were looking, and, you know, they were not completely sure what happened. So Agni said, oh, sorry, no, not Agni, Vayu said, I will check it out, whether he is killed or not. But I have one condition. I need this somaras. I need to drink as the reward the somaras. So they agreed, you know, you go check it out if he is dead or not, and then come back. And Vayu ran away, he looked and he saw. He kind of, you know, touched his heart, you know, and he made sure he is dead. And he came back very like a messenger of the victory, you know. Here I am, Jai, Haribol, he is dead. Give me somaras. And then Indra, he said, wait a second, I killed him. This guy only just, you know, looked whether he is killed or not, but I killed, I also need somaras. And Vayu said, no, I need somaras, that was my condition. So they started quarreling with each other, and ultimately they came to Prajapati, and Prajapati said, okay, you, Vayu, you drink half, And you, Indra, also drink half. And Vayu, but you, Vayu, drink the first gulp. And Vayu, being clever, he drank in one gulp 3/4 of the cup. And so, but before demigod said, what if you, they asked Indra, okay, Indra, you killed, but that was long ago. What will you do? What good will you do if we will give you this somaras? And Indra said, I will make the speech for you distinct. I will make the sound for you distinct. And, you know, when Vayu drank the 3/4 of the cup, Indra took this cup and he saw only 1/4 of the cup is there. And he was really frustrated. He drank it very quickly, and then he said, for this offense, I will only make one part of the speech distinct. You will only be able to hear one part of the speech. So, this is the story behind this. This is the, which is there in Vedic literature. And, now we will, elaborately try to describe what is the three levels of sound, or four levels of sound. Four levels of sound vibration and four energies which are invested in each division of the sound vibration of the sound. So as I said, the names, Sanskrit names, for those of you who love Sanskrit, and I'm sure all of you love Sanskrit, they're called Vaikarivak, which is the grossest speech, then Madhyamavak, Pashyantivak, and finally Paravak. Vaikarivak, Madhyamavak, Pashyantivak, and Paravak. And basically what it means that I will describe the same thing in a very simple example. So it will help you to understand what it means and what, how it relates to us. This description which is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 11th canto, this is the creation on the level of Samasti, on the universal level. If you take the same creation process which is taking place in our own life, because we also create something, we constantly create, we are little Brahmas. He has four heads, we only have one head, but basically we are doing the same thing. We create our little world, you know, like people, they have little apartment somewhere in some, you know, in some city, and they create some, you know, sofa there, and, you know, pillows there, and some little light there, and they look and they see, you know, this is good. I created my world here. So, this is what is going on. On the Vyasti level, on the level of individual consciousness. So, basically what it means that originally the desire is coming from where? What is the origin of our desire? Not from Krishna exactly, because we have the freedom. Where it is coming from? The desire is coming from the soul. And what is this desire which brought us here? Yeah, the desire to lord it over, the desire to enjoy, the desire, and this desire has the subtle form. It's spiritual by nature, because it's coming from the soul, it's spiritual by nature, and it has this nature of this transcendental sound vibration. In other words, from the soul is vibrating. The soul, conditioned soul, which wants to lord it over material nature, vibrates this desire. What is this desire? I want to enjoy. The little tiny soul, which is 1/10 thousandth parts of the tip of the hair, cries and yells and says, I want to enjoy, I want to enjoy, I want to enjoy. You know, that's the vibration which is coming, and it's a very strong vibration. So then what is happening after that? After that, this desire agitates the intelligence. This desire, being little more gross, it agitates the intelligence, and the intelligence creates the image of what we want to enjoy with. The intelligence or the buddhi, this capacity within the man, which actually, you know, like Krishna says, vyavasayatmika buddhih, this capacity of within the man to determine the goal. You know, the soul is just saying, I want to enjoy. So intelligence, the function of intelligence is to figure out what you want to enjoy with. You know, and the intelligence creates the image, the attractive image of we want to enjoy. And on the level of intelligence, this sound vibration, which originally is coming from the soul, which has the transcendental nature, takes the certain shape. For example, you want to enjoy by flying in the air. So this image of the airplane appears. I want to fly, you know. And you see some man with a beak, you know, wings or whatever. This desire, which is there, we can see, you know, and through the history of the humanity, always there were some people who wanted to fly. Right? Why they wanted to fly? Because this is a special way to lord it over material nature. You're flying there, you know, and you're looking, and everything is so small, and you're so big, and you're there, you know, and you enjoy, you know, and the wind is there, and you're controlling this material nature. So when this desire becomes more concrete, it takes the shape of this. Of idea. Idea has the shape and form. And this idea is called Pashyanti Vak. This sound vibration on the level of intelligence is called Pashyanti Vak. And this Pashyanti Vak basically means the idea which has the image, which has the visible form. And then when you want to elaborate on this, the mind comes into picture. After the intelligence, the mind is taking this image which is there. And the mind, on the level of intelligence, you have very concentrated thought pattern. But then on the level of mind, when on the level of logic, on the level of reasoning, it gets what? It gets expanded. It gets elaborated. And you get subtle creation. The subtle creation, if you want to enjoy, you want to enjoy. Then your intelligence figures out and says to you, you want to enjoy by flying. So, fine. Then the mind, what does it do? The mind is figuring out how to fly, right? He creates all these designs of the, you know, planes and this and that, all this, you know, all this drawings. On the level of, and this is called, when we hear within our mind the speech, and we hear it all the time, right? Somebody is speaking there all the time. Sometimes it's speaking in English, sometimes it's speaking in Russian, sometimes it's speaking in different languages, but somebody always speaks. So this speech on the level of the mind is called Madhyamavak. The energy of Madhyamavak, or the division of Madhyamavak. And the function of this particular division of this original energy, Vak Shakti, is to elaborate and to really figure out how to enjoy. And then, after that, what happens after that? After that, you start speaking. You speak in a gross way and you explain to everyone, this is my dear friends, or as Satchinandana Swami would say, my dear devotees, this is how we can enjoy, you know. We can create this airplane and I figured it out. I know how to do this. Let's do it. And everyone, you know, being very excited that we can enjoy by this airplane, starts making this airplane, and sure enough, you're flying from one country to another very soon. So this is how it works. And this is the four levels of speech of which we can distinctly hear from others only the fourth one. We cannot hear what one thinks, thanks God, because If we would hear it, everyone would be in trouble. We don't know the inner desires which are there on the most subtle level, on the level of intelligence. And we don't know, of course, the original dirty desire to enjoy this world. Or, we don't hear it so clearly. We only hear what one speaks. So this is these four levels of speech, or the four levels of sound vibration by which the creation takes place. The gross creation of this material world. If you don't mind, I'll just speak a name. Madhyamavak and the fourth one, Vaikarivak. The external speech, the gross speech. Madhyamavak for the Paravak. Paravak. Yes, Paravak. P-A-R-A. Yes. Madhyama is the thought level, the level of the mind. Pasyanti, on the level of Buddhi. Pasyanti vak, or actually, pasyanti means something which you can see, something which is illuminated. So you see this image on this level, you have the idea, and this idea is visible. So now there are three shaktis, three particular shaktis, which are invested on the three levels of this speech. In the fourth level of speech, Vaikarivak, the gross speech, there is Kriya Shakti, or creative energy. The gross speech has the potency, when you speak, it has the potency to move the things in this world, to change this. Actually, Srila Prabhupada once, he very beautifully explained it. Once he was passing by a skyscraper in Manhattan, and there was a disciples behind him. So he looked behind and he asked the disciples, what is the beginning of this skyscraper? How this skyscraper started? And somebody said, oh, somebody made this, you know, somebody made, you know, the drawings. Or somebody said, somebody put the bricks, and somebody said something else. And Srila Prabhupada said, no. This skyscraper started because somebody started speaking about this skyscraper. This is the beginning. This creative power, the power, actually when we want, like for example, if we want to force somebody to do something, what we do? We yell at him, right? This is the the ultimate manifestation of this Kriya Shakti. You know, you yell at somebody and this somebody starts running around and doing something for you. So this Kriya Shakti, or creative energy, is invested into this level of speech. In the level of Madhyamavak, there is Jnana Shakti, or the energy of knowledge. In the level of mind, when you think something in the mind, then this Jnana Shakti manifests. When you hear this speech within the mind, then, you know, all these different elaborations and how to achieve your goal, that's all coming from this Jnana Shakti in the mind. And then on the level of intelligence, there is, who can guess which Shakti is there on the level of intelligence? Which material Shakti is invested in the level of intelligence?
The Ichha Shakti.
Yes. Right. Ichha Shakti, yes. The Shakti, or willpower, the energy of desire. Because the intelligence is this function within our subtle body which sets our desires, sets our goals, and helps us to achieve these desires, which pronounces these desires, makes these desires visible. And therefore, as Prabhupada says, this whole material world, it's a perverted reflection on the water of desire. This material creation is coming from this original perverted desire to lord it over, which takes shape of this Pasyantivak, which is, by the way, vibrating in our navel, in this Manipura chakra. Actually, all our desires are coming from the navel. Did you notice it? You know, when you desire something very strongly, you know, it's coming from deep down, you know. And then it comes here, and then it comes from your mouth. So, what I have few minutes to speak, and there is so many other consequences of these understandings. And there is, of course, there are we know there are three levels of our existence: Jagrata, Svapna, and Sushupti, and they are corresponding with this Vaikari Vak, Madhyama Vak, and Pasyanti Vak, with this gross speech, which is Jagrata, and then Svapna on the level of the mind we exist, and then on the level of intelligence there is this Sushupti or deep sleep. And there are some other, and of course there are Sthula Deha or our gross body, then there are Sukshma Deha or subtle body, and there are Karana Deha. Karana Deha is this Deha or body of intelligence. Karana means the cause, the body which causes everything within this world. So what I wanted to say now is very, very important. How, and I will only touch it because I only have a few minutes to speak. This is how the sound becomes more and more gross. And this is how the sound helps us to get entangled in this world. So by the Vedic sound vibration, we can reverse this process. And actually the process of chanting of the mantras is exactly the opposite. We're turning away this whole process. That's what we're trying to do when we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Because when we chant Hare Krishna, first how we chant it? Where do we chant it? On the level of what? On a speech, on a gross speech. You know, we only chant it with what? With the lips and with the tongue. You know, first we try to do this. We get this idea from the Vedic literature that there is the Supreme Person. We get this idea from the Vedic literature, and then the Vedas give us abhideya or the process how to achieve this Supreme Person. And they say, you chant mantras. You chant mantra Om. And tomorrow we maybe will be chanting this mantra Om because it's also very important. And or chant Hare Krishna mantra or chant any other mantra. It doesn't really matter because you chant these mantras and you start chanting it. How you chant it? On the level of Vaikari Vak. You're just chanting it with the lips. There is a very nice description of this process in English language, idiomatic description. It is called lip service. Right? So, in the beginning, our service to the Lord is on the level of the lips, lip service. We're just saying something. We don't really mean it, right? because the desire to enjoy is still there, right? We're chanting and we're trying to overcome this desire, but desire is there. So we're chanting in this on the level of the Vaikari Vak, on the level of the gross sound. And this is called, how it's called in our jargon, in our terms? How this chanting is called? Not Namabhas. It's called Namaparad. It's called Namaparad. When we only chant it with the lips and with the tongue, it's Namaparad. Because actually what happens, we chant it on the level of Vaikari Vak. But on the level of Madhyama Vak, we chant something else, right? We chant with the tongue, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then the mind at the same time think, you know, it would be nice to enjoy this or that or her or somebody else. It would be really nice. And the mind is trying to figure out how to do this. But the tongue is going on, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And then, of course, on the level of Pasyanti Vak, God knows what is happening. And you know, but Krishna, he sees, he hears everything. He not only hears what we speak, he only hears what we think and what we desire and what is even deeper than this. So, and then, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, it's like aroma coming from the soul. The aroma of, or shall we say, the stink of the desire And Krishna, he smells this. Stinks. It still stinks. Even though he is chanting mantra. Therefore, it's aparat. It's actually the offensive stage of chanting. Then, after prolonged chanting, you know, we start chanting where? In the mind, right? If we really do this properly, if we chant properly, then inevitably the mind should start chanting together with us. And this is the chanting. Now we're chanting on the level of Vaikarivaka, on the level of Madhyamavaka, on the level of the thought pattern, on the level of the mind. But still, on the level of intelligence, is still, you know, something else is going on. So, but if we continue chanting, what should happen? This speech or this sound vibration has to penetrate where? On the level of our desires. And actually, as Prabhupada explains, and this is actually very deep, and it's coming from this description and from the Varnavada theory, which I will not definitely describe now. But Prabhupada says, the only thing, actually there are two things which you have to do. To reverse this process of material creation or material entanglement, and to activate this process of liberation by the sound, anavriti shabda, to activate this process, to help the sound vibration to penetrate deeper and deeper within your existence, you need only two things. Only two things. First, you have to pronounce all the syllables properly. And this is, as I said, is coming from this Varnavada theory, which explains that the syllables of Sanskrit alphabet, they already contain the energy. It's Krishna. All these syllables, it's already Krishna. It is described in Lakshmi Tantra and in Pancharatra literature that the goddess Lakshmi, actually speech. Speech, the power of speech is the body. The body of goddess Lakshmi is contained from different syllables. All these 52 syllables from this akshara, from this Sanskrit alphabet, they are there in the different limbs of goddess Lakshmi. And when we pronounce this, we will definitely get the result. But there is another condition which actually helps us and which is very necessary for us to reverse this process. And without this condition, without fulfilling this condition, we will not be able to achieve this state. And our attempts even to chant the holy name will be unsuccessful. What is this other condition? And we talked about this condition in the very beginning of this class. The proper attitude of detachment. If we have this, these two things, if we chant carefully, with the detachment in the mind, at least for this 1.5 hour when we chant our rounds. The rest of the day you can be as attached as you like. But at least for this 1.5 hour of the day, if you really set your consciousness in this mood, I'm detached, I don't want to enjoy this world. It's boring, it's pale, it did bring me happiness. It's useless. It's false. It's illusory. I do not want to enjoy this. And therefore I chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. If you do this, then what mantra will do, mantra will create the sincere desire for you to meet Krishna face by face, which may not be there initially. Mantra first will turn your consciousness, turn your, you know, the flow of your thoughts toward Krishna, and then mantra will create very strong desire within you. And this desire, it's not external desire, it will be internal desire. When we read a book, it may be a borrowed desire, desire which may not be mine. But if we chant mantra properly, this real desire, and on this level, you know, this is pasyantivak. If desire is there, what you will be able to do with Krishna? Desire for Krishna is there. What you will do? It's pasyanti. You'll see him. On this level, the sound is not different from the form. On this level, you can actually see the form of the sound, because it's pasyanti vak. And when you pronounce Krishna with desire, what you will do? You'll see Krishna. If the desire is there, if this process is reversed to this extent that it reached the level of your navel, if you chant mantra, not with the lips, but with your navel, if it really penetrated deep within your consciousness, in other words, you will be able to see Rupa. And it's also described that first comes Smaranam, the remembrance. After chanting the mantra, on the level of Nishta, you have this Nam Smaranam. And Nam Smaranam, it's the level of Nishta, and actually that's the level when the Nam, the holy name, penetrated your mind. And it's on the level of this Madhyam Vak. And then later on the level of Ruchi and the level of Asakti, Rupa and Guna comes. And that's actually where you get the desire, when you see the Lord. And when you feel His qualities, you develop this desire, I want to be close to Him. And then finally you come to the stage of Paravak, Transcendental Vak, when you meet with Him face to face. You're leaving this material plane, and you're coming to the transcendental planes through this reversed process of sound vibration. So this is a very brief description. No, on the level of Nishta, the sound comes to your mind. And this is Nam Smaranam. You remember the name. Nam Smaranam means that within your mind, within your manas, there is this name always, and therefore you remember it. And then on the level of Asakti, on the level of Ruchi and Asakti, you achieve this form of the Lord, Rupa, and Guna of the Lord. And that means that your name is as deep as the level of Pasyanti Vak. It means that it's not only your lips, not only your mind pronounce the mantra, but also your heart cries. And the heart says, I want Krishna, I want Krishna, I want Krishna. And this desire will come automatically if you chant in a proper mood, with the proper attitude, if this asanga shastrena dridena chitva, if this vairagya mood is pronounced, if you really say to yourself, I'm done with it, I want to see something else. So I'm sorry, again, there is no time for questions. I'm too late. Thank you very much.